Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints Podcast here on the UBS Market Moves Podcast channel. Burkhardt, welcome back to our latest conversation this ahead of the U.S. election and in the midst of a turbulent week in markets. Now for today, I would like to review with you whether it's the heightened political tension or just Halloween, which seems to have frightened markets this past week. Now, while the Q3 earnings season has been mostly upbeat thus far, the stock market rally seems to have stopped broadening. Now, Burkhardt, I'd like to get your sense today as to how investors should react or might still prepare for the post-election market environment.
Thanks for having me, Dan, as always. It's a great pleasure. Well, it seems to me the rally has stalled because the Fed probably cut rates too much too soon. I remember we discussed this here before when they were doing it in mid-September. And our concern really remains that, you know, there was probably no need to cut so soon given the extraordinary strength of the U.S. economy. Now, let's just quickly recap. So right after the first rate cut on September 18th, the bond market paradoxically reversed most of that as 10-year yields began to rise from 3.6 to 4.3% this week. That's pretty reminiscent of the bond market wobbles that we experienced during the summer last year. Remember how the so-called bond vigilantes talked up 10-year rates between August and October then? I mean, then like today, they warned that the government's seeming lack of complete fiscal responsibility, both at the White House and other indebted nations, could one day face a rude delusion. A bond market crisis could really spook all markets if a treasury auction was to face a lack of willing buyers. So today, the treasury bond market, which has really been the root cause, it seems to me, to the market wobbles, seems to be concerned about three drivers here. For one, as I mentioned before, the Fed might simply have started to overstimulate an already strong economy, and that could steepen the yield curve and raise the cost of capital for business and for home builders. Second, the U.S. Treasury Department just published plans to raise a whopping $1.3 trillion just over the next 6 months. We wish them luck. I mean, that reminds me of the now famous words by former Republican minority leader Everett Dirksen, who in 1969, if I'm not wrong, cautioned that federal spending was out of control. His famous warning, a billion here, a billion there, and pretty soon you're talking real money, still resonates today. And third, remember that the current debt limit suspension ends on January 2nd. A post-election divided government could play its usual game of chicken while Congress debates the ever-increasing debt limit. And we all know that sometimes it may take a bond market crisis to rein in Washington's fiscal excesses. So, see, the long and short of it is that the bond market, not earnings, not the economy, is really causing this Halloween scare. Or, to quote Shakespeare's Hamlet, second act, second scene, though this be madness, yet there's method to it. To conclude on a more positive note, however, our longer-term conviction is that yields are driven by inflation and not by auction. We continue to expect inflation to decline into 2025 and yields to do so too. And ultimately, that should support stocks and bonds again next year.
Well, Burkhardt, that's good to hear. Now, meanwhile, the skeptics counter that the U.S. financial situation could become hairier, so to speak, still under a sweep scenario, even though we are still rooted for gridlock. Now, we all know that neither party looks the same as it did 20 years ago. The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget estimates that Vice President Harris's current proposed plans would increase the federal debt by $4 trillion. This through 2035, that only about half, it estimates, of President Trump's proposed plans. Now, Burkhardt, what, if anything, might investors do to prepare for a sweep scenario?
Well, the financial sector, which we like, would clearly be one that could actually benefit from the spendthrift ways of either party. If rates were to move higher for longer and curves to steepen, then financials might emerge as the key beneficiaries. The steeper yield curve and higher than expected Q3 earnings have already helped the S&P financials rally 3.5% just during this month of October. So for whatever it's worth, we're still overweight financials and technology. On the other hand, loftier interest rates would presumably weigh on real estate and home builders as mortgages would become more expensive again.
Well, Burkhard, thank you for that insight. Another consideration I would like to hear your view on, that being gold. Gold has been one of the shining stars this year, and investors wonder if gold can continue to shine in 2025.
Well, we certainly believe it can. I mean, you're very right to mention it, Dan, because it clearly reflects, for one, the rapidly changing global order and geopolitics. I mean, this year's all-time record in global gold demand, to us, looks well supported by at least three factors. For one, central banks, in particular, the People's Bank of China, first and foremost, have powerfully started to reaccumulate gold reserves, and arguably the PBOC's digital payment plan for the BRICS economies does bear interesting parallels to the former Bretton Woods system, which, as we remember, was backed by gold. The second factor behind this is the rise of India and its strong economy. India's demand for physical gold is the world's biggest demand for physical gold, and we believe this too should continue into 2025. And third, as global yields should, in our view, back down again into 2025, that obviously lowers the opportunity cost to gold and explains why we remain bullish on the shining metal.
Well, Burkhard, thank you for dropping by today and for spending some time with our listeners and clients and for sharing your insight and guidance. As we're holding our breath for a pivotal moment for the U.S. and indeed the world next week, look forward to discussing next week's developments with you in our forthcoming podcast. Until then, hope you stay well and enjoy the weekend ahead. Thank you again, Burkhard.
Well, thanks for having me again, Dan, and the same to you. Enjoy the weekend and happy Friday. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.